to Inside the Wisdom Library, hosted by Dr. Stephen A. Ross, who discusses bypassed knowledge and insights from the past. Stephen is the curator of the Wisdom Library's 20,000-volume library with materials dating to 1492. During the show, Stephen and his guests will discuss topics including spirituality, ancient philosophy, esoteric subjects, psychology, dreams, and science. Stephen is the co-founder and CEO of the World Research Foundation. For over 50 years, he has researched and lectured around the globe, delivering more than 200 lectures and presentations. He has been interviewed on more than 150 radio programs and 15 regional and national television programs while writing 6 books. Here is your host, Stephen Ross.
Welcome, everyone, to Inside the Wisdom Library. I am Stephen Ross, your librarian, and I will be sharing forgotten knowledge and insights from the past. Today's subject will be color therapy, and the title, of course, is the Orthodox Medical Community Colorblind? But before I start, I want to begin with a little bit of philosophy. I want to do that on every show. And it starts like this. You are a soul. You are power. You are light. And you are love. Now, what does that mean? We are more than just this physical body. And that part that is more than the physical body has unlimited power, access to knowledge and wisdom. When we talk about light, the great philosopher Pythagoras said, "Deity is an infinitely wise being whose body is composed of the substance of light and whose soul is composed of the substance of absolute truth." The love part is obvious, that aspect of us. Love is the great purifier, the great healing balm. I will be reminding you of this every single show because that is really the bottom line to me. Why am I sharing this information? It is to improve our life, our quality of life, and to keep us healthy. Along that vein, let me share a little story coming from back in the 1300s. An individual was leaving, a pilgrim was leaving the town of Constantinople. And as he was leaving to go on a journey, the plague was coming. And the pilgrim looked at the plague and said, "Why are you here?" And the plague says, "I am here for 15,000 souls." Well, the pilgrim was very happy to be leaving and he got out of town very fast. He comes back 6 months later after 50,000 people had died. And again, he meets the plague leaving the town. And he said to the plague, "I thought you said you came for 15,000 souls." And the plague said, "I took only 15,000 souls. Fear took the rest." Now let's get into our subject, which is color therapy. And I must begin by telling you in the late 70s, 1978, I had come out of a meditation, was doing a little bit of yoga stretching, and I had this concept that color could heal the human body. And that was really my first introduction. And I remember going over to my folks' house and saying to my mom and dad, "Geez, I think color can heal." And my father, who was an engineer who worked for Lockheed Aircraft, said, "How are you going to find what colors work for different diseases and parts of the body?" And I thought, well, that will be an interesting journey. And it wasn't too long after that that I came across a book called The Ancient Art of Color Healing and Color Therapy. And here I learned some very interesting facts, which I want to be sharing with you now. Pythagoras, the great mathematician, philosopher, 525 BC, spoke about the use of color in the healing process. And the Pythagoreans who followed him actually had healing temples where they applied color therapy. So obviously, if from the Western viewpoint, color therapy is not new. I am sure over in some of the Eastern, Far Eastern, they were also very aware of the beneficial aspects of color. Now I'm going to jump us up to Dr. Ott, who was an individual who was filming plants as they unfolded. His work would be used by the Disney company. Now, this was something interesting that Dr. Ott found. And by the way, he's credited with full spectrum lighting. He found that a pinkish tone coloration over plants, the male buds thrived and the female buds withered and died. Now, I'm not making a mistake here because most people have the female with pink for a baby and the male has blue, but he found that that pink color had such an enormous effect. Males thriving, the buds, female withering. Later, an individual would work with chinchillas. So we've gone to animals. It was exactly the same. If the chinchillas were bathed in a pink light, there would be mainly male offsprings. Under the bluish light, we would have a preponderance of female offsprings. Other researchers went on to find that under an orange-red color, plants would accelerate their healing process. Now, I'm starting with this kind of simplistic plants as we work up to human beings, which I will eventually get to. But I want you to understand that if color could possibly have this kind of effect, there has to be more to it than just it being a random color that doesn't do anything. Now, there was a study done in a factory where the walls were all painted blue. And at 72 degrees, all the workers would complain the factory was just too cold. The owners of the factory put the temperature up to 75 degrees. And all of the employees, and it was a dark blue color, said, "It is freezing, it is cold here." So somebody got the idea to paint the walls orange. And under this orange color, the employees started saying, "It's too warm in here. It's too hot." So they lowered the temperature down to 72 degrees. And all of the employees said, "It is hot in here. It is still hot." Now, color has been used in rather unusual ways. And an individual, a very famous football coach, Alonzo Stagg, he understood, even though he was a football coach, the importance of color. So here's what he did. His home team locker room was painted red. The opposing locker room for visiting teams was painted blue. Now, what happened until the NC2A got wind of this was his team would come out at halftime. Yes, they're fired up. They were ready to play. And the opposing team, after spending 20 minutes under the blue color, were like, "Yes, yes, let's do it." They were virtually lethargic. Now, I actually watched something on the television where they went to a weightlifting room with one of the most powerful weightlifters in the United States. He was lifting his barbells and dumbbells. And then they took a card painted pink and they put it in front of his eyes. And he could not lift that barbell up. That's how much of an effect that that color had. Now, at San Francisco College, one of the professors tried an interesting experiment. He, before the test process, when he was giving notes, decided to have green slides with the notes. And the results, class after class, the class scored 40% higher, 40% higher when they were taught using green slides. So there is obviously some effect that is happening through the use of color. Now, back in 1984, my mom and dad, who lived in LA, were visiting in Sedona, where they had intended to move. And my father, when they returned, had back spasms. He was admitted to Kaiser Permanente Hospital. And what the doctors found was he had an infection, C3 through C7. The doctors did immediate surgery. After the surgery, they came to my mom and they said, "We're very sorry. Your husband is going to be a quadriplegic. There is really very little that we can do." Well, my mom contacted me and said, "Steve, we have to do something. They don't have anything. All they're saying is quadriplegic training, when he is able to begin that." So I went to the head of neurosurgery, Dr. Mahomar, Kaiser Permanente, and I said, "Doctor, you are saying you don't have anything that works, but we do. And I am going to introduce color therapy." And the doctor looked at me very gruffly and go, what does that mean? And I basically explained that we were going to come in and use a color device. And on that color device, we are going to be, even on my father, 1 hour a day in the morning, 1 hour a day in the evening. And we would prefer that we do not be disturbed during that time. He said, "Well, what's going to happen to the electronics in here, the pacemakers and our electronic machinery?" And I said, "It is going to be fine. This is not going to have an effect on it." So we went in 1 hour a day in the morning and 1 hour a day in the evening. I'm looking at the chart right now. My dad was admitted on 8/10/1984. After 4 weeks, once Dr. Mahomar was doing his rounds with some other doctors, he says to my father, "Mr. Ross, can you try to wiggle your toes?" And my father, who had a great sense of humor, said, "Doctor, you better stand back. I might kick you in the face." And my mom was there at the time. I wasn't there, but my mom said the doctor started chuckling. "Oh, okay, right." My dad repeated, "You better back away or you get kicked in the face." And my father proceeded to raise each leg up in the air. Now, the doctor thought this was totally amazing, and he did not expect that. Well, on October 11th, about 6 weeks later, my dad was going to be released from Kaiser Permanente. And my mom said to the nurses, "You're all saying my husband's a miracle. Can we see the hospital records?" And if you all recall, it was very difficult to see your own hospital records back in the 1980s. But the nurses gave a copy to have my mom look at it. And I inadvertently, but deliberately walked away with it. Now, I'm sure I'm going to have some kind of karma, but at this time, I want to read exactly what they said. The final dispensation, epidural abscess and cervical region with resulting quadriplegias, diabetes mellitus, neurogenic bladder. And at the very bottom, and these are the doctor's words and not mine, the patient has made a tremendous recovery from complete quadriplegia to four-fifths strength throughout his body. His major problem remains a neurogenic bladder. He has no feeling and requires a catheterization every day. Well, my dad walked out of that hospital on two canes, but he was walking. Once I got my father home, I used a device called the multiple wave oscillator, which we will discuss in an upcoming show. And 3 weeks later, my dad was able to drive a stick shift car and his bladder came back to full functioning. Now, I'm sharing the story because people have come to me when they hear this and they go, oh my God, did you start your World Research Foundation because you wanted to have an answer to your father? And I said, well, that'd be a great story, but actually had the World Research first and this information. And luckily we did. Therefore, we had an approach for my father. Now let's go a little bit deeper. Oskar Brunner, who was a banker who became a researcher, took a yellow-orange color and would project it over the liver on diabetics. And they went from 145 units to 25 units. Think about that's not a fluke percentage. That is a very high percentage decrease in the amount of insulin that is needed. So now I'm talking about this color therapy, and the question perhaps in some people's mind is, okay, what exactly is color therapy? And the people that we are discussing, for them, color therapy was and is the visible light spectrum projected over the human body. The slides, the color, the original spectrochrome system, which I am going to discuss after the break, used special cut crystal from Germany back in the 1920s with a light source projecting the color over the specific points of the body that would enhance the body's own recuperative features and functions and bring them back to normal. I like to think that the color that is listed for specific diseases and illnesses, the reason is it is bringing the body back to balance and the body heals that particular difficulty. More modern devices use color filters and gels. There are many, many beautiful devices on the market. The color therapy I will be discussing again after the break is what I believe is the most profound color system and approach through all time. Now, I had also read that in New Zealand, many, 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 many years ago, when someone had a difficulty, they actually used color scarves that they would drape over the body. And let us not forget a very, very interesting fact. And now let's kind of segue into the medical community. What is done for infant liver syndrome, yellow jaundice. The doctors use a blue light. Generally, if the blue light is not used, it is 100% fatality for those infants. Now, how did the medical community discover this? A nurse saw that the babies closest to the windows were surviving, and the babies further away from the windows did not survive. And eventually they determined within the white light, the blue light was having this profound effect. Now, it's interesting to note that the Mayo Clinic says in the treatment of the color blue on these babies, there could be a green spinach evacuation of the bowels. So we have yellow, we have blue, which comes out to green. Green spinach type color. So it isn't that the medical community is not a little familiar, but my concept here is, why is it not used for more difficulties when it has been absolutely proven that color can have a profound effect on the healing process? Was my father a fluke? We will find out he was not. The blue that's used for the preemie babies with the yellow jaundice has been in continuous use. That is not a fluke. So one cannot say that someone is either lucky or their stars aligned and the color was effective for them. Color is effective for more than 300 diseases and illnesses. And I will be sharing again in a few moments after the break my experience using color therapy for more than 350 human beings, animals, plants. But of course, I wasn't practicing without a license because I was just demonstrating the use of color, just following a system developed by a yogi from India named Dinsha Gaudiale. And this system, called the spectrochrome, has been effective going all the way back to the early 1900s. Why am I don't want to sound like I'm pushing color, but in a sense I am. Why? You have never heard this. Mary Jane Smith was found dead in her apartment, a color machine blazing away when she died. You just don't hear that because it's never happened. Color therapy has virtually no side effects in the human body. And when I am letting people know about their options, I want somebody to understand you've got a tremendous upside and very little downside at the time. Unlike a lot of other medical approaches where we've got good news, bad news. The good news is this will deaden or mask a particular difficulty, but you're going to have side effects of this problem or this particular challenge later. Color is a beautiful, if a color doesn't work, it doesn't work. And therefore, it is not something that somebody is really struggling. Do I do this or do I not do this? So let's take a break right now if we can. And after the break, I'm going to share much more specific and talk about the spectrochrome healing system.
Welcome to Om Times TV, a division of Om Times Media and Broadcasting. Imagine becoming a super influencer. Reinvent yourself, invest in your brand, and then manifest your success with a robust, spheric approach. Om Times Media and Broadcasting offers a unique and multifaceted way to become the spiritual and conscious influencer you deserve to be by putting your message across our powerful platform with its proven record of integrity and excellence. Through our produced shows, Om Times offers the opportunity to become a social media TV personality, a radio show host, an Om Times magazine columnist, and a syndicated podcaster, all in one shot. By live streaming your show on Om Times TV and broadcasting it across the extensive Om Times radio and TV networks, you become more than a host. You become an ambassador and a force for positive change. Om Times. Open yourself to the possibilities. Welcome to Less Complicated, Inc. This is the internet site for Dr. Stephen A. Ross. This site contains hundreds of posts and writings composed by Stephen on a variety of topics, including spirituality, philosophy, health, mystery schools, dreams, esoteric topics, and science. At Less Complicated, Inc., you can purchase Stephen's 6 books along with other books that Stephen recommends. These are available in printed form and PDF downloads. Throughout his adult life, Stephen has been guided through dreams and visions that have led him around the world to gather helpful information. To take advantage of Stephen's journeys, go to www.lesscomplicated.net. Stephen also has a YouTube channel at Less Complicated with Dr. Stephen A. Ross. For nearly 40 years, the World Research Foundation has supplied library information packets to more than 250,000 people. The purpose of the foundation is to locate, codify, evaluate, and disseminate all information dealing with health. The World Research Foundation has gathered information in an unbiased manner, encompassing information from traditional and non-traditional sources. Library packets range from 200 to 500 pages for more than 300 diseases and illnesses. These packets inform you of a multitude of options you have for your health challenge. The packets are available in printed or PDF downloads, ranging between $20 and $75. Check out the packets and books at www.wrf.org or call 928-284-3300.
Welcome back to Inside the Wisdom Library. I am Stephen Ross, your librarian. And following up on the previous commercial for World Research Foundation, let me just explain that these packets are made up with our staff going through the library, taking a subject, whether it's diabetes or cancer, and then going to every regime and specialty and seeing what is the acupuncture approach, the diabetes approach to a particular problem, color therapy, herbs, vitamins, minerals, electromagnetics. We copy 4 or 5 pages out of the various books in those subject areas so that somebody is getting the equivalent of reading 50 to 100 books on a particular health topic, all dealing with complementary or alternative medicine. And so when we talk about the library packets, that is what they are comprised of, and it gives somebody an idea of all the potential options that are available for them, again, for more than 300 diseases and illnesses. The World Research Foundation was founded by myself and my co-founder, Laverne, back in 1984. Now, we were talking about color therapy, and I want to get into Dinsha Gadiali, a yogi from India who had a very interesting background. He is purported to have started high school at 8 years old. He was a brilliant individual. He actually was working with professors in college at 12 years old. So obviously, I think this individual had some smarts to him. He came across a book by Edwin Babbitt called The Principles of Light and Color. That book was written in 1878. It was his sixth color system. And Dinsha was so intrigued by this concept of the use of color in healing that he began working with that book. But slowly he decided that it wasn't complete enough, and he expanded it to a perfect 12-color attuned system. Now, what do we mean by the word attuned? If you look outside your window right now, or even if you look at the backdrop of this library, you see there's a multitude of green colors. The grass, the plants, the trees, red. There's not just one red. There is a multitude of red variations. What Dinsha found was, and is perfectly attuned, when he discovered that a particular color was beneficial and he used that as a starting point, let's take the most neutral color, green. The green color he used in his healing spectrochrome system was 25% into the green spectrum. Then he decided to use red, orange, yellow, blue, 25% into those colors. So he had a perfectly attuned, in his mind, color system. He decided to use cut crystal from Germany in his original machine from the 1920s. Now, in his day, he used a 1,000-watt bulb. And again, we have access to two of his machines. I had never even seen or heard of a 1,000-watt bulb. He did that so it would project over the greatest area. But Albert Einstein won a Nobel Prize for the photoelectric effect, where he proved that it's not about the light source, it is about the speed of the particles. What that means is, if you have a green filter and you have a 50-watt bulb behind that filter, and it projects the green, the speed of the particles is the same on that green, whether you use a 50-watt bulb or a 500-watt bulb or a 1,000-watt bulb. The speed of that green, the energy of that green, those photons, is the same. Now, for the red and the orange and yellow, it is another speed, it is another frequency, but the concept is exactly the same. It isn't about the light strength. Now, why would it make a difference? Why did he use 1,000 watts? Well, if I use a Christmas tree or 5 watts, it's not going to project very far. So most people who do the color will use a little bit stronger 60-watt bulb that will project over a greater area. Dinsha was an incredible character because he came to the United States in 1913, and he began teaching a system. His son is still alive and in his 90s, and his son has personally told me, here's how his dad would start his training courses. One session, he would tape up his eyes and put a blindfold over, and then take a bicycle and pedal through the streets with his class attendees watching. then he would begin his class. And I guess if they were kind of mystified or lost a little bit of understanding, he would do the same thing, taping his eyes, putting a blindfold, and asking someone to put a book behind his knee, and he would read the book. As dramatic as that may sound, it proved a point, because eventually Dinshaw had 500 U.S. medical doctors. And yes, I'm being very emphatic here, medical doctors. Not that I don't think highly of health practitioners or other people in the field, but we're talking medical doctors. He started publishing a newsletter monthly of the success of the various doctors. And one of the most famous was an individual named Kate Baldwin. Kate Baldwin was the senior surgeon at Philadelphia Women's Hospital, the oldest surgical hospital, women's hospital in the United States. She started using his machine, and the results she got was nothing less than dramatic. But the most dramatic case was Grace Sherlow, a 12-year-old girl with third-degree burns over two-thirds of her body, that the hospital staff there really gave up hope. Dr. Kate Baldwin had come back from a vacation, was told about the young lady. The doctor said she has a 105-degree fever. She hasn't voided any fluids. We don't think there's any hope. So Kate Baldwin says, let me use the spectrochrome machine. Let me use that. And she did. And within the first hour, using the proper color that was laid out, the little girl voided the urine and fluids in her body. After 2 hours, the girl did not have any more burning going on in her body. The hospital went virtually crazy. I have the meetings of the hospital back in the 1920s, where they said this was such an unbelievable case. They were going to add 12 more color machines. And so Philadelphia Women's Hospital had a lot of these color devices in their hospital. Soon after that, the AMA and the FDA said, this color therapy is hokey. It can't possibly work. There's no science behind it. We are not going to allow it. So they contacted the majority of those doctors and said, if you continue using color therapy, you are going to lose your license. And the FDA took Dinshaw to court, trying color therapy. Within hours, the jury came back after hearing testimony from Kate Baldwin and all of the various approaches that she was working with. Cancer, arthritis, diabetes, ulcers. We're not talking about just hay fever. We're talking about deleterious, bad health challenges. Another doctor came in who was with the American Expeditionary Forces during World War I and said her results using the spectrochrome color system. And by the time these two gave their testimony, the jury said, absolutely not guilty. So the color therapy made it. But then another approach by the medical authorities, practicing medicine without a U.S. doctor's license. And that began the downfall and the continuous pressure against Dinshaw, constantly in court. So it wasn't just the color, it was practicing medicine without a license. He was thrown in jail 2 times, came out. In 1947, in Camden, New Jersey, a judge decreed all of the devices, spectrochrome from Dinshaw Goodally, are to be destroyed. And I have pictures of the FDA marshals with hatchets destroying the color machines. And Dinshaw's books were to be burned. Now, do you understand this? In the United States, burning books because the color therapy was so bad, this judge thought, this has to be eliminated. I'm going to go back to my story again. Mary Jane Smith. Nobody's died of color therapy. Just has not happened. But the pressure was so great coming from the AMA and the FDA. There was a report in the AMA journal, which I also have, saying this quack, this doctor, if his techniques really work, why do we have a picture of him wearing glasses? Obviously, it's not that good. That was what they wrote. And I must say, I, in my early days, started giving lectures on color therapy. Why? Because my dad. How do I not? I don't push much out of World Research Foundation, but I certainly make a strong effort to let people know about color therapy. So there was a very interesting article that appeared in the Cancer Journal for Clinicians back in the late 1980s. It was an editorial with no author, and it said, Stephen Ross of the World Research Foundation talking about color therapy, the quackery. No respectable, intelligent scientist or doctor would think that color works. And I'm laughing because I have with me a book from the Annals of the New York Academy of Sciences, volume 453. And the title of this whole volume, The Medical and Biological Effects of Light. So much for no people with experience believing in color. So I have used color for, as I mentioned, more than 350 challenges, health challenges, and even with plants. We were working and we got a call about a man who had gangrene. 90 years old, he was a lawyer who presented cases to the US Supreme Court. They were going to amputate his leg. We went out and we used color therapy, as well as a device called the multiple wave oscillator, which I mentioned earlier, that helped my father with his bladder. And it reversed the gangrene. We had to take pictures because the skin was reversing and growing and having baby skin. I showed those pictures and images to medical doctors, and they said, this is impossible. This is absolutely impossible. But it wasn't, because it happened. The color has been used for a variety of situations. I don't go out, I don't have a practice. And as I said, I am just showing techniques out of our library, so people will learn what is color therapy. the son of this man with gangrene wanted to know what color therapy was. So I happened to demonstrate color therapy. And we've used color therapy for individuals who have had arthritis. In fact, a very funny case of an individual that came to the foundation was their dog had arthritis in its leg. And so they said, well, we've heard so much about what you have here. Can you help our wonderful pet? And we said, all we can ever do is try. And when people approach me and ask, I never say we can do this, we can do that. Our best is we can attempt, we can give our love, and at the same time, we can try something that is not putting a patient or an animal in a worse position than they were. So we get a call 3 weeks later, and the individual said, you're not going to believe this. Well, I was going to believe it with the animal because I figured I know what can happen. But they said, we had our maid hold the dog in place, and she also had an arthritic problem, but we didn't think about that, and her situation was rectified. What a great bonus. And I obtained a report from a Sharon McDonald in San Diego State University who did a trial. And that trial was she had women with rheumatoid arthritis place their elbows into a box and color and no color, just white light was projected, but the individuals could not see what color was being used. What she discovered was the same color that Dinsha used for arthritis worked and reduced these 60 volunteers. The longer they used the color, and she only did it for 20 minutes. The normal spectrochrome time is 45 minutes to 1 hour. Now, you don't want to do more. That would be the equivalent of taking a glass of water and pouring more water in. You will not break the glass, but the water spills off the side. So this light energy that goes into the body, if you do it any more than an hour, is not going to have any more of an effect. So imagine if Sharon McDonald had used it for even more than 20 minutes. Sad part of the Sharon McDonald story, because I started doing research, as she ended up, the university, after she published, got rid of her, and she was a waitress in a restaurant in the Midwest. Why is color therapy not into our medical system? I could, of course, go into areas which would make me more of a shock jock and put down people, but I want to put it to ignorance. There's some vested interest. Sometimes it's poor timing, but the color is something that individuals can use. Now, here's the biggest excuse I've heard. If you use alternative medicine, it robs somebody of the good medical approach that could help them. Well, in some cases, I'm sure that's true. But in the majority of cases, it is not true. If you look at the Arthritis Foundation, the diabetes, do people ever come off of that? Or are they just tolerating their pain? Are they tolerating their lifestyle? Color works. Color is effective. And color and light go together because they are together. It has been shown that cancer cells are not able to hold light energy. Think of what that means. They're not able to hold light energy. They are cancerous. photons, this energy is so dramatic. It can be used. There are devices that are out that are inexpensive. They work. It is very, very good. We can do them ourselves. So if you want to be safe, use it to enhance what you're doing. I'm not telling you to not use something that's recommended by a doctor. I'm just telling you to look at all your options. And if you don't have a tumor that's blocking something where you need immediate surgery, you perhaps need to look at color. One other aspect I believe that's very important are there good friends of mine who have very simplistic color devices. What I always recommend is Dinshaw colors in their devices. So a lot of my friends, one of them, Kimberly Shipke, who has a device, a laser device using the Dinshaw concept. These are very portable. And I know other individuals. And our guest for my February show is going to be a very good friend of mine who I love to pieces, Gail Lynn. And the show next week is going to be The Power of Intention Enhanced Through Color and Sound. And Gail is a developer of a device called the Harmonic Egg. And one aspect, well, there's more than one aspect that's attracted me to Gail. She has been downloaded through dreams, information. And if you listen to my first introductory show, dreams have guided me throughout my life. I love when people get this advanced guidance. And she recognized a need for light and sound capsules. And so she's not only developed the Harmonic Egg, which is a very big unit, but home units. Now, my show is not going to be hawking products. I don't make money off of products, but I will be highlighting and sharing about devices and techniques I think are important. Now, Dinshaw Gadali wrote a book, his son actually, talked about Let There Be Light. I don't want to be remiss in saying the Dinshaw colors are listed for 320 diseases and illnesses in Let There Be Light. You can go to Amazon, it's going to be $40 or $60. But if you go to the World Research Foundation, we still sell that book for $12. It is about, and by the way, I just saw a question. There are really no Dinshaw devices. There's a Dinshaw color system, and the color system can be part of a multitude of different machines and techniques, from very simplistic to more sophisticated. And Gail and I will be discussing a lot of this. She's a wonderful person. She calls herself a rebel. She's an author. She's an inventor. She's an educator. I like all of that. But the most important part is she's real. She is down to earth. She is funny. She is real. And she will be my first live guest. So I hope you will all tune in for that. I thank you so much for joining me again for the second podcast, for staying with me. If you like the show and this type of approach and information, please tell your friends. So with that, thank you so much for being my audience. I will see you again soon.